About halfway between Broken Hill and Tibooburra, you'll find Packsaddle Roadhouse. Food, drink, accommodation, phone coverage, and the friendly hospitality of Mia Degemoise and her staff. After 19 years running the only watering hole for 200 kilometres, Mia is a wellspring of historical knowledge and practical advice. She tells us the building that stands now is actually the second version of the roadhouse.
There was a hotel, Packsaddle Hotel, which was originally across the road where the main road used to be, and that burnt down early 1900s. And then there was nothing along this road till about 1954 when the roadhouse was built, which was just actually a tin shed when it was built, and dirt floors and whatever else, according to what people have told me. So it just started off like that when they changed the road. So it was pretty much when they changed the road, they built this, and there needed to be something halfway. All the little hotels had gone, and it just grew from there.
The name Packsaddle suggests it was originally built for a place for horses to stop.
Yeah, well, actually the name Packsaddle came from a packsaddle left from the Burke and Wills expedition.
So, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
They didn't actually come through Packsaddle, but they came up to Packsaddle Hill, and there was a packsaddle left behind, which was discovered later on, and then the name was Packsaddle from there.
Wow, amazing. It's funny what they leave behind, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even then, they were leaving rubbish and camping gear behind.
That's it.
How did you come to be running this place?
Well, we were working on a station out of Tibooburra, a cattle station. My husband's, he's more into stock work, and that was back in early 2000s when the drought was really bad, and the station we were on got destocked. So yeah, we were like, well, we need to do something, and my background is hospitality, so this place was up for sale. I had two young kids and I thought, oh well, let's just have a go. And so we started here, and yeah, and that's where it is.
Do you love it?
I do yeah. Love it, yeah. I think because we've put so much into it, so we've still kept the character and put more character into the place, and it means a lot that it looks like the old Western style, outback style. And I think that's what blows people away. They come in and they expect a roadhouse is going to be like a Shell or a BP or a commercial one. They come in and they go, wow, this isn't what we thought we were going to get. And they love it. And then it's great to take photos. And it's just something different.
It's almost like a saloon, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's good fun. No shootouts on the main
street, though. No. Not anymore.
Probably.
Because you've got a smaller road coming onto a bigger road, whereas that one's a bigger road all the way through.
Oh, okay.
Did you grow up in this area?
No, I was actually born in Papua New Guinea.
Really?
Yeah.
How did you come to be born in Papua New Guinea, and then how did you end up here?
My parents were working in New Guinea when I was born there, and then we moved to Australia in 1988. And I think because I was lucky enough to travel a lot when we were young kids with my parents. So growing up near the city didn't appeal to me. I love the sense of adventure and do something different. So I, finished school and got a job in the Territory working. It was actually in a roadhouse, Colgall Roadhouse, in the Territory, and just loved the people and the bush. It was a whole new experience. And met my husband, who was head stockman at Innaminka Station, and end up getting a job at the pub at Innaminka. Yeah, we got married at Innaminka and eventually moved to this other station out of Tibooburra and then here.
Now, running the roadhouse isn't your only role out here. You've got a pretty important role with the emergency services. People, as they pass Packsaddle Roadhouse and head further north, will go past a big airstrip. Can you tell me what is that and what responsibilities do you have and your team have out here?
So the big airstrips are for the flying doctor. It's the first emergency airstrip, like on out in the outback. So we're lucky to have one close to here. So our role with the SES is to go and actually close the roads and shut it down and set up the lights at night time. So I'm the commander of the unit. Well, it's just, organising the training, keeping everyone in the loop. Obviously, when something happens, we get a call out, responsible to make sure everyone's ready to go and who's available and work out what situation we have to deal with. That's probably something I would never have thought I'd ever do, but being here, especially years ago when it was a dirt road and we didn't have mobile service really well at all then. So I guess for police and whoever else, if there was something that happened nearby, one of the most important things is getting information and really quick. So we were getting called out anyway, but we were doing it without any training or anything else, not realising how dangerous it is to just actually go out to a situation. So yeah, the SES approached us and asked us, would you like to join? We'll train you, we'll give you uniforms, and we'll give you the gear to help people. So it's worked out really well. So at least we can go out and we can do a lot of stuff now. And it's good to know, like, you've got backup, you've got the RFDS, you've got SES coming from Broken Hill and Tibberborough Ambulance. So nowadays it's so streamlined and works so well.
There's a lot of work that goes into that, isn't there? I know I've been around when there's been some drills on the airstrip and everyone kind of snaps into action. It's such a big operation, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you know, the good thing about here is everyone's got common sense. And because they work on properties, they're used to just dealing with things really quick. You know, most times, you know, well, that's a job that needs doing. Let's just get in and do it. So I'm really lucky.
It's a good team to be part of. You see a lot of different kinds of people come through here, a lot of different travellers. Any standout stories of unusual characters you've had come through
we've
here?
We've had lots of different characters. we've had all types. And I think, you know, that's one of the things I love about this place is every day is different. You never know who's going to come in. You know, like if you had a small town bar, you'd have the same people every day. Whereas every day we wake up, we don't know who we're going to meet, who's calling in. We've had some odd sorts rock up, you know, like a bloke rocked up on a push bike once and said he took the wrong turn off out of Broken Hill heading to Sydney. So, you know, we definitely...
Lucky you were here to tell him before he got to Tibberborough.
That's right. Well, wow. He was definitely really odd. And then we ended up speaking to the policeman in Tibberborough, came down and checked him out. And the push bike was stolen and, you know, he was just... Yeah, but the funniest thing is that some people think that they'll come out here and because you're going out back, no one will notice them, but you actually stand out more, if that makes sense.
So not a good place to go on the run, really.
No, definitely not. It worked out really well, but yeah, you sort of think, you know, how can you ride a bike past a sign that's saying to Tibberborough? But yeah, definitely so many characters.
And what kinds of things are people asking when they come through here? Do you get any sort of unusual questions or requests from tourists?
A lot of people look at Packsaddle and they think it's a town. So they'll come here and they go, well, is this it? Where's everything else? And we go, no, this is it's just Packsaddle. But like the whole story of why they had all these little hotels years ago, they were like little stepping stones to get to Tibberborough and, you know, somewhere where you can pull up and have a meal and a feed and back then when they had horses. So the story behind it of why we're here is really good. But like for people nowadays, they think, why are you here? But it's, you know, it's a good break. It's halfway and it's, you know, good time to get stretch your legs. I guess years ago when I came here, I thought, oh, you know, it's just going to be day-to-day life, but it's been everything but. We've experienced so many different things from droughts and flooding and, you know, the rallies, the, you know, people flying helicopters and pick lunch up and everything is just all over the place, which we love. It's good.
What's the best thing about life out here, do you think?
I think it's the people, the community. Even though our neighbours might be, our closest is probably just over a kilometre away and the next ones would be about 20 kilometres away. But, you know, if you're ever stuck, they're always there to help you. There's, you know, everyone pulls together. Everyone's there. We have our gymkhana every Easter and everyone gets in and we just make it work. And it's, yeah, it's really good fun.
What do you think's the hardest thing about living out here?
The hardest thing would be... I don't know. I really don't think there's anything too hard. Like a lot of people ask me and say, oh, it must be hard to live here. But from living in more remote places, I think like nowadays, I think we've got 24-hour power, we've got NBN, we've got mobile service, you know, so I think we're pretty lucky. I don't, you know, we've got bitumen now. Years ago, I would have said the hardest part would have been not being able to get to town. If it rained, the roads were closed for days. But now, you're lucky if it's closed for half a day.
Yeah, that would make a huge difference. Yeah. When people come through and ask you, where should we go, what should we see, what are you telling people?
The beautiful Salt Lake and Eliza Kennedy's grave, that's pretty special, and that's got a great story behind it. Like here itself, like our sunsets are amazing. I love people sitting out in the front veranda and they're having their beer in the afternoon and just watching the sunset. It's glorious. I think what I like most about this road, it changes so much. A lot of roads out of Broken Hill are pretty flat and straight in some, you know, some areas. But here it's the landscape changes so much.
What can you tell me about Eliza Kennedy's grave?
There's so many different stories about her grave. One was she was a governess that drowned saving a child. Another one that I found on the internet was that she was a housekeeper that had an epileptic fit. There's another one that she fell off a wagon. She was a prostitute and fell off a wagon and got buried there. And I think there's a few more. So no one actually knows the real story. There's definitely more stories, but you know, you don't know if they're just getting exaggerated or made up along the way. So yeah.
Amazing, but definitely worth stopping to look at.
Yeah, well, not far from her grave was the old Cobham Hotel, and that was the very first hotel that was built here, which is obviously not there anymore, just a few ruins, but that was the very first hotel. So you can imagine years ago just being on foot and or push bikes or whatever, they had horses, so it was a long way to go. And then all these little places popped up between Cobham and Tibberborough and here.
Do you have any advice to travellers as they come through? As you said, you've seen people in lots of different states and levels of preparedness, but what are some of your tips for people doing these roads?
Getting up-to-date information and not being afraid to call, like call ahead. You know, if you want to know what the Burke Road's like, ring Tibberborough. Don't always take what Google Maps say for granted. We find in summer that we get quite a few tourists that have cars that are trying to get from Tibberborough to Nacandra, and it looks like it's sealed on Google, but it's not. The road can be in really poor condition, and people can get stuck, and they can be stuck out there for a couple of days before somebody actually finds them, and if they don't have enough water or spare tyres and stuff like that. So it's safe to ring ahead, especially if there's dirt roads.
Thanks to Mia Degemoyes for her time and stories. I'm Amy Volkowski. This episode of Meet the Locals was produced by Bushwitch Productions in collaboration with Jason King Media for the Sturt Steps touring experience. Sturt Steps is a touring route that covers over 1,100 kilometres in the Corner Country, outback New South Wales. This project is funded by the New South Wales Government and administered by the Milparinka Heritage and Tourism Association Incorporated. For more information, head to the website at www.sturtsteps.com.au.